years ago are gathered around a radio listening. But of course, this time it's on FM 105.7. Perhaps, as I was, your heart was really moved with Bernie singing, especially as she sang, "The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." And it's this hope that I want to speak about tonight. And my message is entitled, "O Holy Night, a Weary World Rejoices." And it's in three parts. They are a weary world, a wondrous birth, and a welcome relief. Let me speak briefly to all three of these points, beginning with a weary world. The opening verses of our gospel lesson today compared Jesus to light and this world to darkness. The present darkness our world is dealing with is nothing new. John Sullivan Dwight, who was the one who paraphrased the original French version of O Holy Night into English, was a very active abolitionist, and he was battling the darkness of slavery in the 19th century. We can see this reflected in verse 3 of our English version, which speaks about slaves being set free. In the original French version, however, it speaks of iron chains. And in this original version, you can see by the broader context that what it's talking about is not simply the chains of slavery, but the chains of sin. Verse 1 of the French version reads as following: "Christians, it is midnight, the solemn hour when the man God came down to us to wipe away original sin and end the Father's wrath. The whole world trembles with hope. In this night that gives us a Savior, people, to your knees, await your deliverance. Noel, Noel, behold the Redeemer." In our scripture lesson tonight, we read of the effects of this original sin that the original version of O Holy Night spoke of. We saw it in verses 10 and 11. I think perhaps some of the most poignant words found in Scripture. I am always moved. I'm always kind of set back and aghast as I read these words. It doesn't matter how many times I've read them. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet this world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." Why are we so shocked to read these words? Why do we pause and almost our breath is taken away? I think it's because we recognize ourselves in those words. We recognize that there's something dark within us as well, isn't there? That we don't know Christ the way we should. And oftentimes we don't receive him. You see, this ignorance of and rejection of God, it's the root of all sin. It's what theologians call original sin. It's an anti-God disposition. And it's a disposition that every human being is born with. Contrary to popular opinion, people are not born innocent. They're born sinful. The darkness of original sin has overcome each and every one of us, except one human being, Jesus Christ. Jesus was not overcome by the darkness. He overcame it. Isn't that what verse 5 of our text said? "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And that brings us to the wonder and the hope of this night, the wondrous birth, the second point. And the wonder of Christmas is this, is that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into this world. He's no ordinary child. He is, as the original French version said, he is the man God. The opening verses of our text tonight make it very clear. It's perhaps the most strong statement of the deity of Christ that can be found in Scripture. In John 1, verse 1, did we not read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God," and was with God, rather, "and the Word was God"? There is no way around it. Jesus, the Word of God, is God. You know, the other Gospels, they tell us about Mary and Joseph and the inn and the innkeeper, the manger and the shepherd and the sheep. But John doesn't have all those details in his Christmas story, does he? He simply says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm glad, actually, that John was so brief. He really just gets to the point. You know, all the wondrous things about Christmas can so easily distract us. Sometimes we just kind of miss the whole point of it. And the point is that God came and dwelt among us in the flesh. I mean, who do you see in the manger? And whom did you come to worship tonight? If you came to worship the Word who became flesh, then you are truly welcoming the Christ child. But if you did not, you're not really worshiping Jesus. You are, according to John, still in the darkness. And again, I believe this hymn, "O Holy Night," illustrates this quite well. In all the revisions that Mr. Dwight made from the French version, he couldn't take out the good theology. And yet we know that John S. Dwight was a Unitarian. He didn't believe that Jesus was God. He denied the deity of Christ. He may have been correct in the words that he used, but Jesus, for him, really wasn't the Word. And isn't that like so many people we know, maybe perhaps you? You use all the right words about Jesus. If someone listened to your words, they would say, well, he or she, they're a believer. They say all the right things about Jesus. But in your heart, you don't know him. Just like that original group didn't know him. And you didn't receive him. Just like the original readers didn't receive Jesus. But if you do receive Jesus, Jesus as he really is, God become flesh, God who is the light of the world, then, oh, there's something wonderful happens. There is a welcome relief, a welcome relief. You know, after those shocking words that we just read, we read these comforting words in verse 12 through 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John goes on to say a few verses later in verse 16 through 18, from whom his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Several verses later, or earlier rather, in verse 4, did we not read, in him was life, and that life was the light of man? I mean, what does this all mean? It means that there is a cure for the weariness that weighs down the soul. There is a cure for original sin. It can be reversed, that curse, that darkness. It cannot overcome the light of Jesus Christ. As John's gospel unfolds, he records these words of Jesus himself in chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. What wonderful words of hope we have before us. You know, our nation's living in fear. Fear and panic over COVID-19. But did you realize that prior to COVID-19, that 7,800 people on average die in the United States each and every day? Death was a dark reality long, long before COVID-19 came along. But the hope and the joy of Christmas is this, that the true light has come. The light that gives light to everyone has, and it overcomes death. For those who believe in Jesus, even though they die, yet shall they live. And that is why we sing. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. That is our hope, and that is our Christmas joy this evening. Receive Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that Jesus Christ has come into this world as our light, as our life, as our hope, as our Savior. Oh, Father, fill our hearts with Christmas joy. Let us not be overcome by fear or by weariness, but let us be renewed and rejuvenated by the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And may, as we continue to worship him, may our praises go up into heaven and cause even the angels to sing more joyously because of the joy that we have within our hearts this night. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.